You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Not everybody knows that Acts is volume 2 of Luke's story about how Christianity started. While it's mainly about Paul, most of it doesn't match the chronology of Paul's authentic writing, so it's best to not think of it as reliable history, but more of a heroic spin on the early Jesus movement. Luke's hero is the Apostle Paul, and in order to show his eventual triumph over all the odds, Luke puts his star in conflict with one group after another, including the Jewish leaders in general, the early Christian leaders, who were also Jews, and the Jerusalem Council, which included Peter and Jesus' own brother, James. Paul's preaching has already caused riots among Gentiles in Ephesus, and right before today's passage, Paul has returned to Jerusalem and has been nabbed by the Sanhedrin and sent directly to the Roman authority of the day, Felix, to be tried. Knowing that Felix has a reputation for being a ruthless, harsh tyrant, even for a Roman, the high priest's prosecuting attorney makes a fawning and cringy appeal to have Rome eliminate Paul on account of his being, quote, a pestilent fellow, an agitator among all the Jews, and a ringleader among the sect, the Nazarenes. Well, Felix has heard of Paul already and basically asks him what he has to say for himself. Our passage today is part of Paul's defense.
Our words of wisdom are from Acts chapter 24, verses 14 through 16.
Paul replied, "But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors, believing everything laid down according to the law and written in the prophets.
I have a hope in God, a hope that they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Therefore, I do my best always to have a clear conscience toward God and all people."
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road, an icon that has made its way into the heart of our culture. But more often than not, I hear it used to suggest that everything is going to be hunky-dory. Just follow the yellow brick road and everything will be fine. In reality, to follow the yellow brick road means Dorothy and crew face a lot of challenges to get to their goals, including lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But as an American, I expect things to be easy. And I want what I want now, thank you very much. Instant gratification. And even in Oz, the whole adventure takes just a few hours. This instant gratification attitude bleeds over into religion. If I'm going to be saved, I want it now. Churches that emphasize being born again, boom, are always popular because, like magic, it's an instant fix. Just say these words and you're all set. On the other hand, those faith traditions that emphasize lifelong growth, like ours, have had a harder time of it in a consumer culture. And it all goes back to that basic misunderstanding we've talked about before, a mistranslation, really. Jesus never said you have to be born again. Jesus says you have to be born from above. And that's a totally different take. To be born from above implies an orientation, a process, a way of life. Our movement's founder, John Wesley, called it going on to perfection. In other words, getting where you're called to go isn't instantaneous. It's a journey. Even the earliest Jesus followers got that, so much so that they, and Paul in our passage today, called their movement the Way. Luke uses the Greek word hodos, which means a road, and by implication, progress or a journey. And this hodos is not a term that just popped into existence out of thin air. It turns out that the Essenes, the monks who wrote and hid the Dead Sea Scrolls, refer to themselves in their Manual of Discipline as the Way. Now, many scholars believe that John the Baptist may have been an Essene himself, or at least raised by them. And what does he shout out at the River Jordan? Prepare the way of the Lord. And of course, in the Gospel of John, we have Jesus claiming to be the way. In our Acts passage today, when Paul was put on the spot about what the way was, he said, look, I have a hope in God and do my best always. So now it's up to us. What does this way look like today? As we covered last week, our mission is, as followers of Jesus, we put love first. And our vision basically says what that mission, what that way looks like in the real world. So to review, as followers of Jesus, we put love first by providing a place of connection for the wider community, helping people connect to the divine and embrace their authentic faith, creating opportunities for fellowship and serving others, being a catalyst for inclusivity, dialogue, and engagement, and transforming the world. But to help flesh it out a bit, let's fill in just a few of the things each one of these bullet points suggests. Providing a place of connection for the wider community includes a couple of categories: civic services, like being a polling place or an emergency muster location for kids and the columbarium and serving homeless and migrant families, and health and wellness ministries like AA and NA, yoga, MELT, and providing spaces for community groups and meetings like scouting, 1 in 10, support groups, PFLAG, hiking, parenting groups, LGBTQ groups, and entertainment and cultural events, arts and music festivals, concerts and shows. Food trucks was a very popular suggestion. I think our group was hungry at that point, and interfaith events. Then there's helping people connect to the divine and embrace their authentic faith, which includes spiritual arts and practices like meditation, yoga, the meditation garden, Lectio Divina, alternative Lenten and Advent services, the Buddhist group, and of course, theology and the Bible, which includes LTQ and Bible studies, guest speakers and writing classes, interfaith studies, book studies, all kinds of different things in that category. Then there's creating opportunities for fellowship and serving others. Obviously, this one includes fellowship like Sunday celebrations in the gathering place, potlucks, women at the well, men's group, Sunday brunch, dinners for six or seven, etc. And then there's serving others, which includes mission trips, visitation, the prayer shawl group, support groups for parents, the meal trains, taking people to appointments, Stephen Ministries, etc. Then there's being a catalyst for inclusivity, dialogue, and engagement. This one is a broad category that includes our new digital ministry and presence, which would include a robust website, our studio celebration, online LTQ, online membership, and all those ways of reaching out to people over the internet. Then it also includes outreach and promotion and advertising through spots on the radio or speakers in the broader community, town events, and social media. And then finally, transforming the world through several different means, doing social justice, be they interfaith programs, Praise Well with Others, the Islamic Speakers Bureau partnership, LGBTQ advocacy, racial justice work, or missions like SSP, SAWS, Meals on Wheels, emergency response team training, UMOM and Justice Center and Labyrinth Center and all those things. Then we started to talk about if money were no obstacle, what would be some of the things that we'd like to see? Well, one of the things I'd like to see is a new digital monument sign out front. We also talked about increasing staff for specific tasks like social media and marketing, and a connection center coordinator for all the groups that are starting to use our building. Maybe doing an interfaith arts festival or beef up our surveillance and security. Online events tied to in-person localized groups. This would mean that we would have groups perhaps watch something together and then meet in their neighborhood to talk about it. We talked about a robust outside speakers series. We talked about hiring an associate pastor or youth director. We talked about planning for the succession of the pastor as I get close to retirement. We talked about Stephen Ministry online. We talked about creating an affordable housing cooperative. And of course, most popular, new vibrating recliners throughout the sanctuary. So, how do we prioritize all these action items? Well, we put them into a couple of different chunks. One-year goals to explore include that new digital monument sign and security and surveillance system installed. We talked about communications and marketing director being a high priority. We talked about social justice projects that would engage the community beyond just Fountains members. We talked about increasing the numbers of people in our Wesley Society. Those are people who pledge to remember the church in their wills. Then we talked about possible three-year goals, which included increasing our global online presence and reach, hiring a facilities manager or connection center manager, and an associate pastor with a millennial or youth focus. And then we talked about those five-year goals, including succession planning, starting pretty much now, an associate pastor for pastoral care, Interfaith Arts Festival, and perhaps exploring how we could create some sort of affordable housing cooperative with a laundromat, which there is no laundromat in all of Fountain Hills. Wow, that is a lot of stuff. And who's going to do it all? The pastor, of course. Not. One of the preconceived notions that a lot of people have is that pastors are paid to minister and lay people are the consumers. And sure, clergy help in times of need, but overall, clergy and church staff are supposed to help you discover your gifts and answer your call for changing the world for the better. Friends, if you've been around for a while, you know that the Fountains has a unique message and that most of us know so many people who would relate to what we're doing if only we could get the word out. So a lot of what this vision calls for is in the advertising and promotion category. And then a lot of it is in the just do what Jesus called us to do category, trusting that in doing so, we'll change the world and that will be enough. So are we on our way? Absolutely. With the help of lots of terrific, competent, visionary lay leadership, the Fountains is already modeling a vision-driven faith community. And our new vision helps clarify even more not only who we are, but what road we're on. So, as we look to the future, we can say with confidence, along with Jesus, Paul, the earliest Jesus followers, and even the Mandalorian, this is the way. Once upon a time, an 8-year-old at a wishing well asked his mother what to wish for. She encouraged him to ask the man standing nearby for a hint as to what to wish for. The boy tugged on his coat and said, "I understand you're pretty smart. If I were to wish for something, what should it be?" The man replied, "You don't have to wish for anything. Just live according to these 4 words. Think about everything, your values, the whys and wherefores of everything. Believe in yourself based on what you've been thinking. Dream about things that can be, and dare to make your dreams a reality." And with that, Walt Disney patted the boy on the shoulder and said, "Go on, get to it." Not bad, huh? We don't have to wish for anything either. We've already got the way set before us, broadly as followers of Jesus, and more specifically in our new vision. All we have to do now is get to it. And we're on our way. And as followers of Jesus, we put love first. As a follow-up to the last 2 weeks' messages, I encourage you to watch your email. We'll be sending you this entire vision statement and encouraging you to review it in detail. And then you'll be able to send us an email at welcome@weputlovefirst.org with any suggestions or comments that you might have to add to our efforts, so that together we might be on our way. Thanks so much for your support and for your input. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.